Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
As Bob said, we do have open lines right now. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Call right now if you have a problem situation that you would like to discuss, a question about the Word of God, a particular passage. We want to help you experience truth that will set you free. So 844-322-2742 is the number to call. I want to go back to the very basics. The verse that most of us learned first was John 3:16. We've heard it since we were little kids. Most of us have. If you're new, if you came to Christ later in life, this is probably one of the first verses you learned as well.
Yes.
So it's just the standout verse. It really summarizes the whole gospel message, and it's this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, this is such a significant verse because it speaks to the infinite worth of each and every human being. God, this verse doesn't say that God loved some people and didn't love others. It said God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. He sent Jesus for all of us. So what does that say about God's opinion of each individual? That each individual has infinite worth. Yeah. So much worth that God was willing to send Jesus on that person's behalf to die in his place or her place, to take away her sins or his sins so that he or she could experience eternal life.
Yeah.
That's what this passage is saying about the infinite worth of each and every human being. Now, Jesus echoed this sentiment in Matthew 25. When he talked about this parable of doing it unto the least of these. And he said, Lord, Lord, when did we do this unto you? And he says, well, if you haven't given a cup of water to this person or to that person, then you haven't done it unto me. So he's echoing the sentiment that's in John 3:16, that each and every person is of infinite worth to God. And how we treat each and every human being is important. It tells the world something about your understanding of God and his love for mankind. Now, that's not the way of the world, is it, Richard?
No. Almost everything in our world is based on what have you done for me lately.
Yes.
I will accept you, I will love you, I will honor you, but only if. And with God, the love starts the process. That is the first statement. He declares us valuable because he loves us. Now let's talk.
Yes.
And it's a completely opposite approach.
Yes, yes, indeed. I was reading today from the Colson Center, and I'm a big fan of the Colson Center. John Stone Street is the president, and that was the organization Chuck Colson founded. Mm-hmm. And Chuck Colson was significant in my early growth as a believer in Christ. I saw him on a television program, and he was being questioned about prison reform. He had started Prison Fellowship, and you know, the interviewer, it was William F. Buckley Jr., one of the smartest minds that has ever existed here in America, and he was grilling Colson on all the different theories of prison reform and rehabilitation of prisoners and those sort of things, and finally Colson just stopped him dead in his tracks. He took over the program, and he said, it's all about Jesus. He delivered the most passionate gospel presentation, and it just stuck in me. And I thought, here's a man who knows Jesus. He knows what this gospel message is all about. And I just gobbled up everything that he wrote and have been a follower, and just really appreciate how John Stone Street has taken taken the realm and is moving this organization forward in such a positive way. But they do a radio broadcast, and today's radio broadcast talked about the subject of eugenics. And there was a court case back in 1927, Buck versus Bell. And there was a woman, Carrie Buck, who was considered as a misfit, an undesirable. And they wanted to sterilize her so that she could not, reproduce like kind. Mm-hmm. And Judge Oliver Wendell Holmes made the final decision, and he said, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind. And of this Buck woman, Carrie Buck, he said this: of her, her mother, and her daughter, three generations of imbeciles are enough. Folks, that was our Supreme Court justice saying these things. And what kind of notion is that toward human beings? So there's this science called eugenics. It actually, that word was coined by Charles Darwin's cousin way back in the 1800s. I think that's interesting. But it's the process of getting rid of undesirables.
Yes.
And it's a horrible, horrible thing. Why is it so horrible? Because it speaks lies and errors against mankind. It is saying something about human beings that the Word of God and that God himself does not say. It is exchanging the truth of God for the lie of Satan. It is dastardly. It is sinister. It is everything evil that we can imagine. Why? Because we are getting off the rails of truth.
Yeah.
There is nothing truthful about this. And any society, and obviously America is grouped into this, we have a law that says there are some people that are not as valuable to God as others, labeled misfits way back in 1927, imbeciles way back in 1927. That's not of God, folks. And we have to get back to what the Word of God says. And the most simple, most basic of all scriptures is this: God so loved the world. That is God's statement saying that every human being is of infinite worth. We need to treat each other accordingly.
Yes, we do.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome you today, 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a problem situation that you would like to discuss, a question about a passage in the Word of God, now is the time to call, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is called Hard Passages. It is a two CD series set. Richard and I look at 20 different passages in the Word of God that really cause a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. They're not meant to cause problems, but if we just lift them out of their context, then it seems to be telling us something that is contradictory to other passages in the Word of God. So they can be confusing to us. They can stir up doubts and angst about one's eternal security, one's salvation. Well, we want to cut through all that confusion, and we want to tie these verses back to the grace of God. And that's what we've done, and we want to put these in your hands. It's available for a contribution to Basic Gospel this month. Just go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click on the donate button. Follow the instructions right there, and be sure to request your copy of Hard Passages. I think this will be a blessing in your life, an encouragement in your life. And if you have any confusion over some of these difficult issues, like Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, or Hebrews 10, 26, or 1 John 3, 7, or 1 John 1, 9, if you have any confusion over those particular passages and many, many more, I think this series will clear that confusion up and bring you to a point of confidence in your relationship with Christ Jesus. So go to basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742. Speak to Billy. She would love to talk with you.
Yes.
And when you do, request your copy of Hard Passages. Well, as I said just a few minutes ago, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We welcome you to the program. We have a number of email questions that we want to get to today. So, Richard, what do we have for us?
Well, we've got a note here from Corey, who actually listens to us on The Word 100.7 here in Dallas. I like this question because I resemble this question from back in the day. He titled it Conviction versus Condemnation. The past year has been very much a mixture of lukewarm to high mountaintop moments in my faith walk. However, it has been these revival moments when it seems I am most attacked as distraction darts are shot my way to keep my focus off the Lord. As a believer, I know there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. Sometimes, reading verses such as Matthew 7:22 and 23 or Ephesians 5:5 and 6 causes whispers of doubt. As believers, with constant evil around us and sinful desires in us still, what are those two passages referring to?
Well, those are two great passages in Ephesians. We'll go there first, Ephesians 5. And this is a challenge to believers to walk in love. You know, we've been rescued from darkness. We've been called out of darkness. We've been placed in the kingdom of God's Son. Mm-hmm. We've been given every spiritual blessing. That's how Paul starts out this great letter, that we've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked out for eternal salvation. It's ours. His life is in us. We are secure in Him. So as he moves through the book, he always starts with doctrine. This is the teaching. This is what it means to be saved. And then he goes to application. And so in chapter 5, he's moving into application. How do we live this out? We've heard the gospel. We've believed the gospel. Now, how do we live it out? So he's telling us how we live it out. So he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Well, imitators of God aren't those who go around living like the lost world lives. You look out into the world. We see murder. We see stealing. We see, false accusations. We see lying. We see deceit. We see sexual immorality. We see all sorts of things out there in the world. Well, what's that an indicator of? That the world does not know God, that it doesn't know the truth about God. So it's trying to make life work through its own understanding. And so these fleshly desires are just unbridled. They're just going out there and trying to be gratified in any way possible. Well, that's not God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if we're going to be imitators of God, then we want to allow the love of God to flow through us out into every single relationship that we have.
Yeah.
So as we allow the love of God to flow out of us into those relationships, we're going to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven us. We're going to treat people kindly. We're going to put aside anger. And so this is what this chapter is all about. And then in verse 5 and 6, it says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Well, all of us were sons of disobedience at one point. Those of us who have come to know Christ, we've been made alive together with Christ. We have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. We have been set apart to walk in the good works that God has prepared for us. So as believers, we are no longer sons of disobedience. We were, but now guess what? We're actually sons of obedience.
Yes.
So let's step back and just look at the word obedience. When you read it in the New Testament, most of us think of it in terms of doing, of actions, of you know, your parent says do this, and if you're obedient, you go and do it.
Yes.
Well, it has a root, and that root is belief in Jesus Christ. So the obedient heart is a heart that believes in Jesus Christ. Now, the disobedient heart is a heart that does not believe. Mm-hmm. So a son of disobedience is an unbeliever. He's a lost person. He's someone who is dead spiritually. So someone who is dead spiritually is going to manifest the works of the flesh in his behavior.
Yes.
And Paul defines it, looks at it, sexual immorality, filthiness, foolish talk, all of those sort of things. That's what the lost world is like. You've been set apart, so allow Christ to live his life through you, and it's going to look different. That's all this is saying. So when those old fleshly desires rear its ugly head and try to pull you away from your faith in Christ Jesus, just say, you know, that's not me. That's not me anymore. I was once one of those, but I'm not anymore. I have a new identity in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. I have Christ living in me, so I'm going to abide in him, and I'm going to allow him to produce his fruit in and through me. So that's all this passage is saying.
Yeah.
It's not saying that you can lose your salvation if you have a sexually immoral thought or if you have filthy words or something like that. It's just saying that's the way of the world. You've been called to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus.
I like the way Peter put it in his letter when he says, haven't we done enough of that stuff? Let's move on to better things.
Yes.
You know, it's very, very practical.
Yes.
He asked partly, how do you know the difference between conviction and condemnation? Well, for me, here's how it works. If my thinking has gotten off and I'm starting to wander off in the weeds, the Spirit comes to me and asks a simple question. How's this working for you, Richard? There's no condemnation in that. It's a question. He wants an answer. And my answer usually is, oh, I don't want to answer. Then I think about it and I say, you know, this just isn't consistent with who I am anymore.
Right.
He says, that's right. Let's talk. If it was condemnation, I would be killed the minute I had a bad thought.
Yeah, and there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ
and
Jesus.
And we're done.
Yeah.
So the Spirit is going to discipline us.
Yeah.
But he's never going to hit us with a 2x4.
Right.
That's done.
And the reason the word conviction is so perplexing and confusing to many, we think of it as a criminal being convicted of a crime. So if the Holy Spirit is convicting us, that's what it must mean. Well, no, I think Paul said, I've become convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ, who brought him to that conviction, the Holy Spirit. So when we think of the word conviction as it relates to the Holy Spirit's work in our life, it's his work in us to bring us to a deep conviction that what Christ has done for us is true. So I want to be a man of conviction. I want the Holy Spirit to move me to that point where I'm a man of conviction, where I know that my sins have been forgiven.
Yes.
The accuser can say anything to me he wants, but it's not going to move me away from truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has brought forth a conviction in my life that says I am a forgiven person.
Yes.
I am a child of God. So that's the difference between those two. And that passage in Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, that is a passage to false prophets who are going to claim that their works should earn their way into heaven. Well, that's not the gospel. So that's a passage to false prophets. It doesn't apply to believers whatsoever.
Correct.
Well, we had a wonderful question from Brad on Facebook, and we mentioned in our little plug for hard passages, Hebrews 10. And he says, speak about Hebrews 10. That is a tough one that I get beat up on when I go back to my legalistic roots. It's just when the enemy whispers lies that I look at those passages. So he's referring to Hebrews 10:26. If we can continue to go on deliberately sinning, then we are crucifying the Son of God all over again. And it's one of those passages that we can read and say, oh my goodness, if I choose to sin, that means I can lose my salvation. But that's not what it's talking about at all, is it?
No, not at all. Again, context, context, context. I could tell you, isn't the sky beautiful? It's all red. And if that's all you heard, you'd say you're crazy. Well, what I forgot was to give you the context is last night when the sun was going down and the way the clouds were formed, it was a beautiful red color. That's the same thing that happens here in Hebrews 10. Earlier, he has come to this ringing conclusion that where there is forgiveness, there is no longer any offering for sin, no sacrifice for sin. Jesus really did complete this work. And so the offer to us is accept that, come together now as the new body of Christ, as believers, build each other up in the faith, come boldly into the throne room, come to Jesus and experience this life that he has for you. The other option is that we'll say, I don't believe that.
Yes.
Notice it always starts with belief. It's not that I stubbed my toe and cursed. It's that I am in a fundamental state of unbelief. And when I'm in a state of unbelief, there is no sacrifice for sin.
Yes.
That sacrifice has been made, and it's still available to me. But I have to choose to stop unbelieving and to start believing in Jesus.
Right.
There's the key.
Yeah, and it's I think important to note that this letter is titled Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Its audience was Hebrew.
Yes.
Primarily. It has broad application.
Yes.
To all of us. But here was Jesus, and here were the apostles telling the story of Jesus, and it was in contrast. It was a fulfillment of the Jewish story.
Exactly.
But they were looking at it as a contrast to the Jewish story.
Yes.
That, wait a minute, you're robbing us of our way of life. We have to give up the sacrificial system. And yes, that's true.
Yes.
Why? Because it was no longer needed. Well, they heard and they, you know, were kind of sitting on the fence, and some were shrinking back and saying no, deliberately saying no to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and going back to the old sacrificial system.
Yes.
And that's really who this passage is directed toward. Some of you out there, maybe you've thought that you have to go and confess your sins to a priest, or you have to go through this set of penance every time.
Or an accountability group,
right,
or something like that.
And you hear about the finished work of Jesus, and you're saying, oh, that sounds so good. But you shrink back from it, and you continue to do what you're doing. You're saying no to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You have to come to the point and say, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I'm going to put my full weight of faith in him, period. I'm not going to bring anything else into that equation. If his blood was not sufficient to take away my sins, then there is no other sacrifice.
Yeah.
So I am standing on the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, awesome.
So it is. It is. So if you're reading this thinking you can lose your salvation, just discard that thought.
Yes.
Altogether. This has nothing to do with losing salvation. If you are in Christ, you are a forgiven person. You are righteous. You have Christ Jesus living in you with the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the good news of the
gospel.
It is. Well, thank you for joining us on today's edition. Clay, we're so sorry that we did not get to you on this broadcast, but we hope that you will call back on a later program. I do want to mention again our Hard Passages resource. It's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Take advantage of this. It is a wonderful, wonderful resource. If you're involved in ministry, I guarantee you, folks that are coming to you asking these questions, and maybe you're not sure of the answer, this will help you really get rooted and grounded in the Word of God and give a grace answer to these stumbling passages. Well, you can go to basicgospel.net to order your copy or call 844-322-2742. We'll see you again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.